And that's why, for instance, the style of the tshuvas is never the same. But they're all signed by him. And he, we have close to 3,500 responses of his, which is enormous. It's probably the largest. And they put it out slowly. There are now 8, 9 volumes that have been put out. It's very hard reading. The manuscripts are not always in good form, and they have to be interpreted and read and deciphered. But it's a steady stream of work for the last 100 years of the writings of Rabbi Meir of Rotenburg. Rabbi Meir of Rotenburg exemplifies, perhaps more than anyone else, the great attitude of Ashkenazic Jewry. First of all, the terrible stubbornness that lay within them and us. When the Christian Church passed the rule that I mentioned to you last week in the Lateran Council that Jews had to wear round patches on their clothing, either of yellow or of red, to identify themselves as Jews, the Jewish badge. So they wrote to the mayor of Rotenburg and they asked him, what shall we do regarding this gzeira? So everyone would have expected him to answer, well, we'll appeal it, we'll try and bribe them. He wrote back and he said, be sure to sew it on securely so that on Shabbos, when you wear it in the street, it will not be considered carrying. So he took an object of shame and made it an object of pride. They asked him what to do about it. In effect, he said, you know, to heck with them. Okay, you know? So we'll do it in such a way that it will preserve Jewish tradition. And in general, he is the one that is asked the question about the Jewish hat, whether one should wear the Jewish hat or not. So he has it's interesting. That tshuva regarding wearing the Jewish hat was misinterpreted by many of the maskilim of the 19th century as a question whether to wear a yarmulke or not, whether to cover one's head or not. And they came to the erroneous conclusion that somehow the Maharam of Rotenburg said it's all right to go without a yarmulke. He's not talking there about a yarmulke. He's talking there about the Jewish hat, whether to wear the Jewish hat or not. So he says that as far as he's concerned, he says he wears the Jewish hat everywhere. He writes there in an aside that if it would be more comfortable, he would sleep with it, he says. But he says if people find themselves in circumstances where it is uncomfortable or uneconomic for them or to cause them difficulty, then one can go without it. So again, what did he do here? He took that object of shame and derision, the Jewish hat, and he made it a Jewish symbol so that it's not that the goyim made you wear it. The rabbi wouldn't let you go without it unless you had a good reason for going without it, because you had to be proud that you were going to be a Jew. That is the enormous genius, and that's probably the thing that is most difficult to obtain and probably easiest to lose, but it's that pride in being a Jew. If a person is proud of being Jewish, then he can take almost everything. Then you really can't reach him. It's only people who are overcome with a lack of pride, self-hate, whatever word we want to use, they're the ones that are always nervous about it. You know the famous story of the famous Hasidic story. It makes no difference whether it's true or not. Just like in history, it doesn't make any difference. Yeah, it's all a perception. But that the Baal Shem Tov once dreamt at night that, and then he saw an angel, and he asked the angel, he said, who's going to be my partner in paradise? Who's going to sit on the seat next to me? Evidently, in heaven, it's like in a shul, you know. There are some guys that got a window seat, and some guys are in the front, the back. So he said, who's going to sit next to me? So they told him the name. They told him.